Well, let me welcome you. So glad to be here. So I'm Robert Jones. You can call me Bob. It's fine. I have heard many, if not all, the Bob Jones comments, Bob Jones University, etc. But I'm really delighted to be here with you guys today. Our goal here in this particular session is to lay out for you a overview is what I'm going to try to do. The Lord saved me when I was a high school senior, age 17, in New Jersey, Neptune, New Jersey. And I became so hungry for God's word at my point of conversion that my youth pastor recommended that I attend the Jersey Shore Bible Institute, which was housed in our church. And it was taught by a bunch of the senior pastors in the area to help lay pastors, elders, Sunday school teachers to get just more biblical training. And I took a theology and New Testament, Old Testament survey. And then I came to the spring semester, and there was a class called Christian Counseling. And it was taught by one of the followers, a disciple, someone who had trained under J. Adams. And we read this book, Competent to Counsel. And again, I was 17 in reading this. I had no aspirations to be a pastor. But the Lord planted within my soul two themes that have just continued for those many years. I'm now 64, so I've been through many, many decades now. And what the Lord planted was the power and sufficiency of Scripture. God's Word is life-changing. And of course, that's a mega theme in anything that J. Adams wrote. The second thing, though, that I took from that is the role of the church, and particularly the pastor. Now, I wasn't heading, as I said, to be a pastor. But as I went from there to a Christian liberal arts college, as I continued to read what little had been written at that point in time in biblical counseling, this is like before Paul Tripp's Instruments, and this is a long time ago now, I read what I could. I sparred with my roommate, who was a psych major, in his integrated studies. I took a few psych classes, but was very frustrated because having read Adams and having studied my Bible, I was very confident in what Scripture taught me. I went from college, then eventually into seminary, and there got the usual Christian integration approaches there. Continued to read Adams and, you know, Wayne Mack. A few other things had been coming out by then, I suppose. I entered my pastoral ministry as a small church pastor in West Virginia, and I was very frustrated because there were counseling needs. People slowly began to open up their life to me. And there were counseling needs, but I didn't know how to handle them well. I did what I could. My friends who had graduated from seminary, they didn't have this problem. What did they do in their pastorate when there was a counseling problem? Yeah, some of you are doing it, yeah. Refer and defer is one of those phrases, a defer and refer that J. Adams used to say all the time. Just farm out your counseling and you're fine. Well, I couldn't do that. My conscience didn't allow me. I don't think the Scripture allowed me to do that. And so I had to learn. I got a postal flyer talking about a conference by an organization I never heard of, Christian Counseling Educational Foundation. It happened to be located, the conference, the 1 week. This is the old June Institute, so I wonder if any of you ever went to the June Institute. But anyway, it was near where my in-laws lived, so free housing. What a deal. And I went to this. And I will tell you, sisters and brothers, God changed my life, rechanged it, like a second conversion. When the Lord used, and I would particularly point to some of the teaching that Paul Tripp did on James chapter 4, now, for some of you, like James 4, you've read it and used it 43 times in your life. Well, this was new to me. And when Paul Tripp unpacked it, the Lord just used that, exposed my soul. And That really was the start of a life change. My wife would tell you she got a new husband out of the deal. She got a new dad for her kids. And I continued to just study as much as I could and read what I could and attended conferences and continued for more years. Ended up doing a doctoral program there at Westminster, finished it, and then continued on for another 8 years until there was a need at Southeastern Seminary, which is in the Raleigh, North Carolina, Wake Forest, North Carolina area. So I was there for about 12 years, and 8 years ago, this coming June, moved to Louisville to be at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, teaching counseling there. Have you had a track yet with either John Henderson or Jeremy Pierre? I hope you'll get one. If you haven't gotten one, I think he'll probably be. Those men are princes. They're dear. Now John is adjunct away from us, but he teaches with us, and Jeremy is just a prince, and whatever you see on the outside is real. I mentioned the training I went through every summer to the June Institute. On one of those summer occasions, a man by the name of Ken Sandy was the guest plenary speaker for that conference that year. And not only the content of what Ken taught, but his manner and his demeanor was just very infectious. And I just love biblical peacemaking. My church that I was pastoring had suffered a split prior to my arrival. I arrived in the remnant of the split that already occurred, and kind of helping put that back together as a very young pastor, 26 years old. Who hires a 26-year-old lead pastor, really? There's only one answer, a desperate church. But the Lord just gave me a heart for that kind of ministry, and then I've done a lot of different things in that field since then. So the content of this particular workshop today will be largely following the outline of my book, and it's there in the footnote for you. I do have some goals. I'd like you to be able to emerge from today with a very simple, and I'll even kind of make a visual for you, a very simple outline on how to respond to conflict. Secondly, I'd really like us to walk away with a new knee-jerk reaction that when you hear the word conflict, you're going to respond differently. And I also hope that there'll be one, maybe two takeaways. There's so much material. This is my longest workshop, and you can just see how many pages here. I'm trying to give an overview, but we're going to fly pretty quickly at certain places there. So let me ask our Lord to guide us as we think about this vital topic in all our ministries, whether it's church, family, marriage, friendship, work, all these relationships. Let's pray. Our Father, you have initiated peace with us, and we thank you for all the ways you demonstrate your peacemaking work in our lives. We pray that you would help us today to catch a vision and a renewed commitment to leading others in this way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's start with some biblical foundations. How does the gospel relate to biblical peacemaking? We can realize that the Bible is all about God, and we would turn to Genesis chapter 1 through 4 and see that. In the beginning, God. The Bible is all about God. But you don't go very far in chapter 1, where you also see it's also about people, that God made people in his own image. And as we go through Genesis 1 and 2, we see a glorious picture, don't we, of people. We see God bringing together this husband and wife, and it is a beautiful picture. However, turn one page in your Bible, right? And what happens? Everything begins to unravel. There's alienation between Adam and his God, Eve and her God. There's alienation beginning between them. And by the time you go into chapter 4, it's full-fledged murder, fratricide. Can you imagine being the parents? where this has happened, where one of your kids kills another kid.